Hey, family, ready for being in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and live another day clean. I give that to my higher power, I choose to call God. I want to thank the Houston Area Convention of Narcotics Anonymous for giving me this opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. Man, if I could tell you that I was going to be sitting in this chair right now 2 years ago, I would never. I get emotional when I share, bro. Hey, real. Because this person taught me how to. You know, I started coming into the rooms 16 years ago, right? And today's the longest I've ever been clean.
Yeah.
I got 2 years, 2 years, 1 month, and 7 days today.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's
you know, sponsorship is something that's brand new to me on the giving end. I didn't start sponsoring until I had a year clean. And I've had three sponsors, right? I've been in and out for 16 years. I could get clean for a year, but I just couldn't stay clean, man. You know, it was just like life situations would happen, and I would always, for some reason, just go back to, you know, it's nothing about what my sponsors did. I mean, I drove all the way to Bonham from Louisville, which is Denton. Like, Awakenings is where, well, Bonham was our primary purpose is where I first got clean in 2010. And I, too, started in the other fellowship, and I was like, okay, well, this alcohol, okay, yeah, but no. Whenever I got around, they didn't have NA at 5 North in Dallas, but when I got to Bonham, there was NA. It was in a smaller room than everybody else, and I was like, oh, these are my people right here. Yeah. You know, and Billy, he was my first sponsor, and, you know, it's amazing how in this convention, there's another Billy here that spoke at another workshop earlier this morning, and she knew my sponsor. Like, it's a small world how everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. And she also was at Awakenings before, you know? And so it's just how everything runs full circle, man. So like I said, I was willing to do whatever was told to me, because that's what y'all told me, to be able to take suggestions. And I did. I was willing to drive, you know? It was nothing. I actually got excited. But at the beginning, it was just, I was still in the victim mode. You know, I was still, it's my ex-wife, it's the war, it's this, that, and the other, you know. I wasn't willing to take the responsibility of my actions, man. And I worked all the steps, but they were so loving and kind to me. When I say they, because all my sponsors have been, right? And it was like, well, we'll work on this, like, you know, in this way. And I'm just so grateful that it took what it took, and that the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous has always been there, and to love me right where I'm at, man. Before I even knew how to love people where they're at, you know? I said I did, but I had to learn. You know, I had to learn that I didn't really know. I just knew what I thought I knew, man. And so I did that. You know, things happened. I went through a divorce. Of course, I started getting loaded behind that. I have three children. By the fact of not being able to see them every day, It just broke me, man. Because I just didn't want them growing up in the dysfunction that I didn't grow up in, because I was saved, you know. I got adopted into a beautiful family that weren't addicts. So I taught myself how to use, you know, through the lifestyle by choices at 17. And I'm 40 now, thank God. And so 23 years of active addiction total. But then my second sponsor, which is the gentleman that gave me the opportunity to speak right now, you know, Herschel C. was my sponsor back in Dallas. And he moved to Tennessee, and so, like, I needed somebody that was closer, so I had to change. And, of course, I relapsed, you know, not because I didn't know how to get another sponsor and continue to do what y'all told me to do. You know, it's just a life situation happened, and I just chose to do what was comfortable, man. I had the mentality of, ever since I came home, well, before the war, but really when I came home from the war, that, oh, things are going to start messing up, I'm going to go mess it up, because I wanted to be in control, right? I felt like I could control the pain from happening in the severity of, and I have no control over it, man. When I put that dope in my body, it's all bets are off, man. that's whenever I just give, like, the disease of addiction to just take me to wherever it wants to. Right. You know what I'm saying? In my mind, I thought I was doing all these things. It wasn't until this time I came into the fellowship that I've realized that I've never been in control, never been in control. And it's through step work, you know? I got to a place where I came to Camp Hope. So basically, let me back up. So I was in the fellowship with my other sponsor that I had before, because he continued to take me back. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, because, like, you don't have to, right? But he never gave up on me. And, you know, so we worked the steps and everything, and I was still willing to drive all the way to Bonham, Texas. I was able to attain 21 months of clean time, but I also give that to Veterans Treatment Court. But, I mean, you know, I'm an addict, bro. If I want to tear it up, I'm going to tear it up regardless of what stipulations are on. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I was in the rooms. I started going to the meetings every day. I started calling my sponsor every day. I was keying and chairing meetings for the first time. I was doing more than I had done in my recovery before, because I was taking the suggestions that were told to me. And I got into a relationship in the rooms. It had been past a year I took that suggestion. You know what I'm saying? But till 21 months, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, you know, being of service, doing my thing. They hit me up. I'm like, cool, we hung out. Everything turned into something beautiful, you know? Until it didn't. You know what I'm saying? And because I suffer from severe PTSD. And I had a night terror one night. And I had elbowed my girlfriend, and she didn't tell me until 2 days later. And she wanted to separate for a week. She needed a break, and then she broke up with me. And I just destructed, man. Because before that, I'll back up. The woman that in a relationship that I was in, I divorced in 2015. I got in a relationship in 2017. I felt like I was ready. And my ex, she overdosed on me. And man, bro, I didn't use the solutions. I stopped going to meetings, of course, bro. I felt like, God, you don't want me to be loved. My kids would come to my house, because I was in walking distance, because this fellowship got me back to where I needed to be, right? Right by my parents' house, so I could be, because when I get loaded and I'm in my active addiction, bro, I'm off the map. You ain't gonna see me. I don't want to degrade my family. I stayed in the suburbs. I'm straight in the hood in Dallas, Texas, getting it in. And but my kids would come, and they would leave a note on my door, and I'm too loaded already, you know? And then when they would leave, I'd read that letter, and I'd get even more loaded behind it. You know, didn't go to a meeting, didn't call my sponsor, didn't call my support group. That was in 2017, and that's when I first became homeless. Like, for real. Like, I went out there and I was just like, you know, I didn't love myself, bro. I didn't feel like I needed to. Like, I didn't think like I was worth love at all. Yeah. So I had the effortitis through the, and I'm spiritual, bro, but I said, fuck everything. I ain't good to nobody. I cause pain. That's all I do. You know what I'm saying? And I'm in pain, like, because I had survivor's guilt, because I rode over and I kissed her and I went to school and I got that call later on that day. And Elizabeth's daughter, which is the same age as my daughter, my 18-year-old, had to find her. That just gave me, like, fucking, that just took me right back to survivor's guilt from the war, man. Told my car in a week. I just went off the deep end, man. All the way back to just straight in the hood, just living that lifestyle, man. I just got down with it, you know. And I thought I had a game plan, too, though, because I never caught charges until I was in 2017. I started using it in 2000. So 17 years of successful use in my mind. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And then I was like, okay, like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, no, so that didn't work. But, you know, so fast forward, you know, 2018, got back with my sponsor, got back in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and life got good. It always gets greater later. That's one of my sayings, man, because it does. And it's proven to me, you know. My sponsor worked with me, man. The first time I ever shared my story was in White Right, Texas, and that was in 2018. And, you know, I was just doing the deal, you know, doing what I was told, showing up, being there, being accountable. working steps, being a service, life was good, man. I made meetings every day. Like I said, I was in school back in college. I had a 4.5 GPA. I had a two-bedroom, two-bath apartment. I had a service dog, beautiful German Shepherd. I was in my kids' life like the way I was supposed to be, first and third weekends, and I was okay with it. I got the two-bedroom so they could come stay with me. But due to the disease of addiction, I wasn't responsible enough for them to. And I got an attitude with myself about not being able to go have them by myself instead of having to keep going to my parents' house. It's not their fault. They were taking care of my kids for me on my weekends, supplying a better place that was healthy and conducive like they have been their entire life. I didn't want to face that fact, right? And so everything was good, man, until that relationship that I told you about. And I just fell off the map again. I started self-sabotaging all the way to point to homelessness again. And COVID hit, and I was like, oh, man, COVID hit. What's going on, bro? You know what I'm saying? So I waited till the sheriff's department came, and I had a neighbor. She was like, hey, do you want me to give you a ride somewhere? Can I help you? I was like, yeah. I was like, can you just give me a ride here? She didn't know where I was telling her, but I knew exactly where I was going. I was going back to where I go, you know, where everybody knows my name. Cause like that's where I already knew what time it was, you know. And 3 years I went out, from 2020 to 2023, and the disease of addiction had a grip on me, man, just so much. I don't ever want to go there again. I don't ever want to go there again. Everybody I know is either dead or in the feds or in jail or they're in here. Because these are my real friends now, but they're still my friends. I love them. Because I couldn't get high no more the way I used to get high no more, right? Because I had a half hit in Narcotics Anonymous and a half hit in my disease going full-fledged. Yeah. So all I'm doing is regurgitating stuff that my sponsor told me and everybody that in this fellowship that loved me was telling me. I remember that members were coming to like check on me, and I still wouldn't answer the door. You know, that's the love and the camaraderie that I found in the relationships of my old home group that I had before. And so fast forward 2023, I'm homeless, busted and disgusted, you know, seven or eight, like maybe 10 charges later, you know, seven got expunged, thank God, because I was able to stay clean for 21 months, right, and work the steps and live this way of life, what that brings you, you know. And so I became ungrateful for everything. What was soaked in this time is a grateful addict won't use, man. That's what y'all told me. And I didn't understand that I was ungrateful. Until I had to give it all away. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't lose nothing. I gave all that shit away. I gave me away. And when I give me away, that's everything on the outside. Because everything on the spiritual is already gone. Except for one thing. I was just like, God, don't let my heart turn cold. Because I knew my disease was spiritual. It's spiritual in nature, you know? And so I get here. And it was, okay, I'm asleep on the train. And I'm homeless. I had a half ounce of meth. And I get busted, thank God. And they're like, okay, Mr. Scales, we're going to give you 20 years in TDC. You know what I'm saying? And or it's going to be 3 years probation, Safe P, or 3 years and come to a place called Camp Hope. Mm-hmm. Camp Hope saved my life, man. Y'all saved my life, man. When I got to Camp Hope, Jekyll and Hyde. This lady here was my therapist, like she said, man, I'm so grateful that God blessed me with you. You know what I'm saying? Because never have I had the opportunity to go over my entire lifespan of trauma that was majority self-induced. You know what I'm saying? And she has 15 years clean, bro, so I was able to relay my trauma to how the solution is going to help me. The solution. Of Narcotics Anonymous, working steps, making meetings, being of service, talking to another addict, you know, and just the first thing I asked her, I said, "You have a higher power," you know what I'm saying? And I said, "You believe in God?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, that's all I needed to know," you know what I'm saying? And I just trusted this woman with everything. I cried so many times, man, and I took every suggestion because I trusted her, and I could see her spirit, I could sense it. And I just continued to grow. And then so Jekyll and Hyde is there, NA, and I started going, I was like, oh, thank God. So I finished the manual that they had. You know, every treatment program has their manuals and stuff that they do. But when NA was there, I was like, I know this is what I need because this is what sustains me when I get out of treatment. And I was willing, man, to do whatever it takes, man. I didn't get there acting like I was an NA all-star because the more I know, the less I know. Every day I'm a newcomer. I'm a newcomer right this second. Right. Everything's new. Everything's new. Every moment is new. And Herschel Cox, Herschel C, he was there. Yeah. I said, hey, Herschel, but he done got older now. He didn't remember me, you know what I'm saying? I said, man, you know that voice anywhere, right? And I said, hey, Herschel, man, what's up, man? He's like, Russell? I was like, yeah, man. And so it was so good because, look, I had already worked steps with him. He's already been my sponsor. And so this treatment program, you know, you got to work three steps, get a sponsor, work three steps in any fellowship, you know. Nothing gets NA, but I'm NA all day. Yeah. And so all I have to do is catch this man up on the last 7 years of my life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I did. We immediately got to work, man. And so, like, you know, I graduated the program, still working steps, you know. He's helping me do my 90 and 90. And I didn't have a good plan, bro. I didn't have a good exit plan. I had a blueprint of what it can look like, but it still has to get there, right? And I was homeless. I thought I was in a trauma bond that I learned. I didn't know what a healthy relationship was, bro. You know? I didn't know. This lady helped me learn. My sponsor helped me learn. And so he was able to let me move in with him instead of going back to Dallas, you know? My mom was like, hey, because the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope, they were like, my mom was like, because my parents are veterans too, and they happened to go to the town hall meeting, and that's where they met Camp Hope, and they were able to talk to my court-appointed attorney, and they got God worked that out for me, man. And there's a whole another story about how that went down before that went down. I didn't just get here normally. I got released to Camp Hope and Camp Hope only, and they drove me there because I didn't do right. I'm an addict. They said you got court. I'm like, what you mean I already signed? So I went got loaded. That's what I do, bro. Thank God, man, and I OD'd August 13, 2023, man, on fentanyl. I was doing the most. And I got hit with Narcan twice, man. And that's why I still have a place in my heart for the people that I was around, because they didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
They could have just been, fuck, man, what are we doing? Just dipped, you know? So I'm grateful that those addicts, you know, did the right thing and used it. And I'm grateful that God brought me back. And So moving with Herschel, instead of coming back to a toxic relationship that would have been no good for me, because this person wasn't talking about recovery. They weren't interested in it because their mom had done it and it didn't work for them the way that they thought it should. And I said, well, I can't do that, man. I got to put my recovery first, you know. Right. And it was just money thing. And I was like, man, I can't do it no more. I got to love me, man, because I didn't know how to love myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to love myself. Because I've always been codependent. I've always been, hey, man, like that. You know, making excuses for other people just because, like, I just always, like I knew that I started seeing in my life, if I do something, then whenever I come, it's going to come somehow for me. It's going to help me, you know. I don't know how it's going to come, but when I'm in need, if I ever get in need, God always comes through for me, man. So I'm working steps with Herschel, and I'm living with him for almost about a year, up into December. And it's just, I started growing, man. You know, and I went home for my family for Christmas, and I had already knew that Herschel brought me around a group of guys, you know, the God group, the Get Honored or Die group, and my grand sponsor's in here, and my sponsor, and I met these gentlemen because I was able to have a sponsor to take me to all these meetings. I get to meet all you beautiful people, man. And Sarah, she took me to my 90th meeting, which was in Recovery by the Sea for the very first time, so I get to meet all you. And so, and I go every year now, you know what I'm saying? I decided to just stay in Houston because the experience of the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous here is just life-changing, man. Because it's like, I totally learned how to, step three, you know, turn my will over to the care of God as I understand him, because, like, I know that I can't, he can, so I think I let him.
Yeah.
Just like my sponsor, I can't, you know? He can, so I think I let him. Mm-hmm. You know, my sponsor's got 26 years as of yesterday. And so I can get clean, but I need someone to show me how to stay clean. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Herschel and I love him to death like a brother, and I always will because he helped me. He's a part of my journey and always will be. But I had to get another sponsor, man. I had to change. And so I got James O. And James O knows about PTSD, man, and he calls God Pops, and the spirituality and just the way that James O and Mike K and Hardy Art, and the way that everybody in the Get On or Shaddai group, the way they break down the literature for me is something I've never heard before, man. You know, and that's how I met Jimmy G. That's how I met everybody. Because, like, man, and we first started with the guiding principles, going over the traditions. I never went over traditions yet. Then we did the 12 concepts. And then now we're on the Living Clean. I show up every Monday, man, tentatively. I might miss a day. But I try to hit two meetings on that Monday, man. I go to meetings every day. You know, Zoom, I love Zoom. You know, I work steps. I just finally finished my 12-step process with my sponsor. And so now let me get to where it gets good. When I was with, because it's all good, all of it. But when I was still with Herschel, I go to Camp Hope. You know, after I left, I stayed connected. I still go up to the meetings. The guy asked me to be a sponsor. I was like, man, you know, I was like, hold on, man. I was like, man, I was like, you know what? I didn't know the right thing to say. I knew what not to say, though. I knew not to say yes until I talked to my sponsor. Right. Well, let me talk to my sponsor and I'll call you back. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? How about that? And then I told my sponsor and he said, yeah, man. He said, as long as you're a step ahead of him. I said, really? And I said, all right. And so next time I seen the guy, I told him the same thing. I said, you know, I said, it'd be an honor and a privilege, man. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, now... I got a couple sponsees. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. Sponsorship is something totally dope, totally different. It's a game changer. It's a life changer, man. Because every time they're working a step, I'm working a step. And I have such a solid support group of men that I can contact. Like, hey, sponsor, what do I do about this? Like, what do I tell them? Like, I give my guys the suggestions that the Spirit guides me, you know, because I just, anytime I do step work, we pray, we invite God in, and I just ask God to talk to me and talk through me, just like I am right now. Because I realized through the step process that I've never done anything in my life. Nothing. I never did it. Everything that I ever did that was good, God gave me the ability to do that. My higher power did that. And everything that I didn't do good, my higher power is love, his compassion, his kindness, his mercy. He allowed me to make it, man. Mm-hmm. He knew that he had something in purpose for me. A seven different drug. I was putting anything and everything in my body to change the way I think and feel. Killing myself. It's just like, he didn't want me dead. He's like, no, Russell, I got something for you, man. Mm. And so, like, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew that Narcotics Anonymous needs to be my life. It needs to be. And I'm so grateful for the process. I'm so grateful for sponsorship. So it keeps me clean, man. And I hadn't worked in 12 years, and then now I work for the PTSD Foundation of America in Camp Hope, and I'm in outreach. And so I just do the same thing. And I get paid for it, man. So it's a vocation. And I go in there and I talk about warrior groups, but you know what I'm saying? My warrior group is about Narcotics Anonymous. It's about recovery, because I used to self-medicate. My disability says addicted to stimulants, alcohol, and opiates due to PTSD. You know, that's what I did. I'm an addict. You know what I'm saying? And now the drugs are gone. I still have to deal with Russell. But I love looking at Russell today. Because it's an opportunity that I took for granted, bro. Mm-hmm. I didn't know why I was here since I was little, bro. Like, none of my family looked like me. You know what I'm saying? I was always lost and never knew. And I didn't know how to talk to nobody about it. So I used behind it. Mm-hmm. All the time, man. I had so many opportunities. I used behind them. Because I didn't know how to do them. I didn't know how to deal with me. I didn't know how to deal with my emotions. But my sponsor, the first thing I can do, I can call him. I pick up this phone, I call him. I text him every day just to see what's up. My family, you know, Magnificent Monday, Terrific Tuesday, Wonderful Wednesday, Thankful Thursday, Fantastic Friday, Super Saturday, and a Serene Sunday. Yeah. The serenity and peace that I found in the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous through sponsorship and step work is something that I've never known. I've never known. Because, like, I talked to my sponsor. Yeah, I did, like, this is, like, my sixth or seventh round of steps. But this is my first round of steps that I ever completed. Because I never had the willingness that I have today. You know what I'm saying? and I acknowledge. And I never had the willingness that I have today. I never had the awakenings that I've had from sponsorship and my sponsor and showing up, man, and just I can't really put a word on it, man. It's just my higher power. Finally, the willingness and the surrender and the acceptance that I needed to get it. It took me this long, but I'm just grateful that I got it. And I don't ever want to leave. And so being a sponsor, having a sponsor and having another sponsor, like, it's accountability. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a lifeline that it was freely given to me, and it's something that my higher power gives to me to freely give to somebody else. So that's my only fear that I have, that I know for sure, is I don't want my higher power to have given me something mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, or emotionally, and I didn't give it to another person, and especially another addict. You know what I mean? And so that's what my life purpose is, man, to be of service in any way that I can, and I'm learning how to be more of it, different ways, you know? I used to not talk, man. I used to be scared to share what God put inside of me. But this is a place where God is. This is my platform. You know, I like church and everything. I love God. I go there. But this is where He likes to use me, right here. You know, sharing to other people that are just like me and to help me stay consistently learn how to new way to live. Because this is a new way of life now. It's not just a program that I work. It's a way of life that I live. And it's a continual thing. And I thank y'all for being a part of my journey. My name is Joseph.
Once we begin attending meetings and learning about the Narcotics Anonymous program, our lives start to change and we realize the importance of seeking support. And then this is in quotes, this is an addict saying, "For me, my relationship with my sponsor became and still is the first relationship with another human being who opened my heart to the possibilities of becoming a member of the human race." And I love that, because I don't know about y'all, but when I got here, I didn't feel like I belonged in the human race anymore, right? The degradation, the demoralization of the disease of addiction had taken me so far out that I didn't feel like I even belonged in the human race. You know, I would remember using, because I got high here in Houston, right? And right over on Washington, where I sent my friends to go eat tonight, the restaurant is where I used to use, right?
Sorry.
Is where I used to use. And I remember there was a fourplex, right? And I was sitting up on the top balcony. And I'd been up for days, and it's Sunday morning, and I'm looking across the street, and there's a church. And I see these families all dressed up in their nice dresses, and their kids are all cute, you know? And I'm looking across the street, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, that's humanity, right? Those are people that are living a life that I don't ever think I can have, because I'm over here on this side of the street. And so, like, how in the world am I going to get from over here, from the degradation, the demoralization, to that side of the street? And it seemed hopeless for me at that time, right? And that's what sponsorship is for me, right? It was that other human being that took my hand and walked me through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous and led me to the other side of the street, that led me back to humanity, that helped me understand that I'm still part of this, of the human race, that I hadn't gone so far down, that there was hope for an addict like me. When I first got in to NA, I actually worked my very first steps out of the other fellowship, right? I came home out of prison, and I was told there was a lady in... Actually, it was Vinny P. right there. He told me, hey, there's a lady in the NA group, the VGO NA group, who's got 27 years clean, and you should ask her to sponsor you. And I was like, bitch, I ain't got no... You know what I mean? Like, she was really intimidating to me with 27 years clean. And she was the only female in that group. Like, there was a lot of guys, and she was the only female in that group. So I went to the other fellowship and I asked a girl that I knew already, right? And I got a sponsor in the other fellowship. And I worked the first set of 12 steps in the other fellowship. But I share that to say that when I worked that fourth and fifth step with her, right? And I remember doing and completing my fifth step and looking up at her and finally for the first time releasing all that shame, all that darkness I had carried for all those years that I didn't want anyone to know who I was or what I had done. Because if you knew those things about me, you'd surely not want to be around me, right? Like, you would surely not want to have anything to do with me. And I looked up at her and she had so much love in her eyes. And she was just there and she said, "Me too, girl. Me too," right? And that moment, that compassion, that empathy that another addict had for me, she didn't look at me with disgust or anything like that. She looked at me with nothing but love. And I knew I was going to be okay, right? I knew I was right where I needed to be. And I worked the steps kind of rapidly in that program because I think I worked steps 1, 2, and 3 in like 5 minutes. So anyways, I was like, hey, I worked the steps really rapidly. And so I took the suggestion because I was only attending NA meetings, right? I had an AA sponsor and I'm attending NA meetings. And I said, I probably need a sponsor in the program in Narcotics Anonymous. And so I found the balls, I found the glue, I found the courage to ask the woman that had 27 years clean. And I'll tell you what, she just celebrated 42 years clean, right? August, okay? So I'll never forget asking her, would you be willing to sponsor me? And her saying, I'd be honored. I'd be honored to walk you through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's when the digging deep really started for me, right? I don't know if y'all know, but there's like 69 questions in the first step.
Right.
You know, any good addict remembers it's 69. I'm like, this is so cool. I'm like a kid, right? Like, and so this woman is walking me through these steps and helping me to understand myself, right? And when we get to that fearless and moral inventory, and she helped me to understand the patterns of behavior, the fear that was driving all this anger that I had and all these things that I didn't understand about myself, right? It was the most loving thing I could have done for myself, was to work this thorough and fearless moral inventory and to get to know myself for the first time. You know, I was in my 30s when I came into recovery. So I was like 35 working the steps for the second time. And I'm just now getting to know myself. Who am I? So much fear-driven patterns that were just running my life. Fear of rejection. Fear of being accepted. Fear of whatever, you name it. Fear of abandonment. Fear of success. Fear of failure. You name it. Every fear there was, I had it, right? And getting to recognize that I can leave those patterns behind and I can find a new way to live. So it's kind of funny because the speaker talked earlier. She was like, yeah, this is where we can talk about, hey, I had Hep C and, you know, we're all accepted, right? So I had hepatitis C. I got treatment in 2015. And during the time that I was in treatment for Hep C, if anyone's ever done it, it kind of alters your mind a little bit, right? Yeah. Like, that medication is really strong. Yeah. And it kind of took me to a dark place. And during that time, my sponsor actually moved to Louisiana. So she left Victoria, Texas, and she moved to Louisiana. And my perception of the things that was happening got kind of altered, right? So I felt like she abandoned me. I didn't feel really good about the relationship anymore. And I felt like I needed a sponsor that was closer, but there was no women in Victoria at that point that could sponsor me, right, in NA. So I traveled to Corpus Christi and I found a sponsor in Corpus. I had been doing H&I in Corpus for a long time. I would go on Saturdays and I would do H&I in Corpus, right? So I knew people in Corpus Christi and I did find out later, though, you know, I went later on, my first sponsor in NA shared with me that it really hurt her when I let her go, right? And I didn't mean to do that. That wasn't my purpose in that, but I just needed to move on and I needed to find something else. And I felt like I needed someone closer, right? Sponsorship is my only hope, and I needed that hope, and I was dark at the time. So I found a woman in Corpus Christi who was willing to sponsor me, and man, she's a step working fool. I think I worked the steps 6 times with her in the 5 years that I was with her, right? Like, every time we'd finish another set, she's like, all right, now we'll go again. I'm like, what the? So I worked the steps on, like, everything, right? And that's the great thing about this, is we suffer from the disease of addiction, right? So the first time I worked the steps, I worked it on my drug use, which got me here. But after that, I've worked it on my anger. I've worked it on my shopping. I've worked it on my food addiction. I've worked it on, you name it, I've worked it. I've worked it over my marriage. I've worked it over so many things because it's a set of skills on how to live, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And what I found out is the drugs weren't the problem. It was me. Mm-hmm. And this program gives me a set of skills on how to live life. And so at the time, I loved Corpus, right? I love Corpus, Cabana, that's my peeps. I love you guys.
Yeah.
So finally, I moved from Victoria to Corpus, and I'm like, hell yeah, right? This is the best. Except for I went in a really dark spiral, because even though I had wanted to get out of Victoria, once I left Victoria, that was where the magic had actually happened for me, right? That was where, that was my first home group, Victoria Group of Narcotics Anonymous. And I was in a dark place when I first got to Corpus. I was actually really suicidal. That was the first time that my psychiatrist at the VA, and I'm going to talk about an outside issue, right? Like, that was the first time I was placed on medication while I was in recovery. And the sponsor I had at the time told me that if I got placed on medication, she couldn't sponsor me. That was her belief. That was what she believed. But I knew that if I didn't do something different besides just working the steps, every day that I drove to work, I wanted to drive my car into the other fucking side of traffic. And that was the only thought in my head, is if I could just fucking drive over there, then I don't have to fucking do this anymore. And here I am in a town that I want to be in. I'm around people that love me. I'm surrounded by so much love. I go to meetings all the time. I'm doing H&I. I'm carrying the message. I'm working the steps. And I fucking want to kill myself. And that's the truth, right? I had 7 years clean, and I was so suicidal. And so I got some outside help, right? That was a really dark time for me. So it was the first time I was without a sponsor. And I didn't feel that I had any hope at that moment, right? I really did feel some hopelessness during that time. And there was a group of women in the Cabana area. And they gently scooped me up off the ground. And they loved me back to life. And in that group of people was a woman that I asked to be my sponsor in 2018. And she's still my sponsor today. And she offers me hope. And my sponsee sister is sitting right there, right? Mm-hmm. That woman is loving. She's kind. She's gentle. She said, just listen to my voice, and I can walk you out of the darkness. Just hold my hand. I will guide you. She said, and we're not going to work any fucking steps right now because your step worked out. She's like, you need to know how to live these steps. Mm-hmm. She said, you've worked so many sets of steps, but you need to learn how to live the steps. And she guided me out of that darkness, right? It was her voice, her gentleness, her kindness. And I'll never forget, it was Hackney. It was the last Hackney we had, because Hackney is like, oh, every 2 years, right? Or maybe it was the one before that. Y'all got to keep my timeline. I'm there and I get a phone call from her. And she says, are you sitting down? Because I need to tell you something. And I'm like, what? And she says, I just got a diagnosis of cancer. And I remember thinking, like, I can't lose this woman. Mm. And I looked down the hall, and her daughter had just walked in the convention, right? And I went over and I hugged her with everything that was inside of me. And I got to walk with that woman as she walked through her chemo and her radiation. And now she's cancer-free. Yeah. Yeah. But sponsorship has given me so much hope along the way, right? And in that term, what I want to share is that I'm sitting here looking at a beautiful sponsee of mine, and that I also get to offer that hope to others, right? Sponsorship is our only hope. Not only do I have a sponsor, but I get the opportunity to walk other women through the program in Narcotics Anonymous. I today am a sponsor and have been a sponsor pretty much almost all my recovery, because there wasn't that many women in Victoria. So I think somebody shared earlier, right, like, I think the guy at 12:30, he was talking about, like, yeah, hey, you don't have to work all 12 steps to be able to sponsor people in the program. Like, where I was, once I finish that third step, I'm grabbing all the women and I'm just as long as I stay a step ahead of them, like, we can do this thing, right? So early on, I had 6, 7, 8 sponsees. I mean, I was all over town. Vinny can tell you, I was everywhere. I was in Beeville. I was everywhere. I was trying to sponsor the world. But, you know. But I wanted to give hope to other women, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to offer hope. And there was these other small towns, just like Victoria. So I would drive to Beeville, and I would do meetings, and I would sponsor the women there, right? Because... And then the people in the valley started to call me, and they're like, hey, there's a girl, she needs a sponsor. I'm like, tell her to call me. And here I'm doing like all this sponsorship through the phone. And then I start sponsoring women in the behind the walls, and I'm doing sponsorship through paper. You know, like, what I've found is that there are so many ways to sponsor and to offer hope, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know which I'm thinking, but so sponsorship is our only hope, right? I love that this thing's all about hope, right? Keeping hope alive in 2025. But not only do I offer hope to them, but my sponsees offer so much hope to me, right? So much hope. I know that sometimes on my morning ride, my sponsee will call me, right? And we have these most beautiful conversations that by the time I arrive at work, I'm so filled with the Spirit, and I'm so reminded of things that this program has done for me, right? The gratitude that I carry. You know, my gratitude speaks when I care and share the NA way. And so those moments that I get to have these God-filled conversations with another woman, and I get to get vulnerable, and I get to say, hey, at this moment, this is what was going on in my head. Or this is what I did in that moment. This is what I'm not proud of, but this is, you know what I mean? Or like, these are the spiritual principles that I used, right? And so the program of Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life far beyond anything that I ever could have hoped or could have imagined. I think, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I want to say. I mean, I don't know how long I've been speaking.
10 minutes.
Oh, shit. Anyways, is it really only 10 minutes?
12.
Let me see what I can share.
You're good.
Let me see what I can pull out.
25 each, right?
Okay, but we might do 12 each. Sponsorship. That is pretty much, you know what I mean? I've had 4 sponsors, but one was in the other fellowship. So I've had 3 sponsors in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. All 3 of them have shared with me parts of their life and have given me a hope shot beyond anything, right? They pour into me, right? They poured into me. Each one taught me something different. The way they worked the steps was different. The way they guided me was different. The way they live their life is different, but they all use the same program, and we all live by the same principles, right? And so what I've learned is that the program looks different for each and every one of us. You know, I know that we're all working this program, but it looks different, right? I don't want to share anything. I mean, this really, that's my message, right? That is my message. That's where I'm at. I love you guys. Thank you.